You sung A Man's a Man at the opening of the Scots Parliament in 1999.
I did.
Who did the one come about and how did it make you feel at the time?
Well, there's a wee bit of mystery about what idea was. There was a committee. There was a committee convened to organise the entertainment programme, and they were trying to get a song to be sung in the Parliament. And now, some folks say it was Shona Reid, the director of the Scottish Arts Council at the time, that thought a man's a man for all that. There's a civil servant that reckons it was her idea. But whatever it was, they reckoned a man's a man. But they come to the end, and I think they were probably right there, that if it was going to be a man's a man, it would hate to be sung by a woman. Because otherwise it would be a wee bit... You know, and you know what, in Tarzan and the Apes in the middle of a thing like that. So, although having looked around the hall, I'm not so sure about that. Anyhow, whatever. Anyhow, Shona Reid went back to the manor place and she phoned the music department and said, a woman singer to sing A Man's a Man for all that at the opening of the Scottish Parliament, and Shona Irvine, who was working there at the time, said Sheena Wellington, and apparently Shona Reid said, yeah, that's what I thought myself, so we'll go with that. But of course it was all top secret and so on and so forth, and I was actually up in Caithness because a pal of mine, Jean Urquhart, the Cayley Place in Ullapool, was standing for the Parliament, and I went up to canvass for her because I think she'd be awfully good. Malcolm doesn't think anybody should go into Parliament because they turn into politicians when they do that, but having said that, I still went up there, and we just dropped back into the house or stein for a plate of soup, and the phone rang, and it was himself saying to me, they want you to sing A Man's a Man for all that at the opening of the Scottish Parliament. Now, a few of my pals, I knew Martin Bennett was going to be doing something, I knew various other people were doing something in the Gairdens and all the rest of it, and I thought that was what it was. And he said, no, and it's actually, they want you to sing during the opening ceremony in the assembly rooms. And I let the phone drop. Jean picked up and said, well, what on earth have you said? What's happened? But I had to keep it secret, but of course it leaked out. And we had all the pantomime, the paparazzi. It's the only time I've ever been paparazzied. Waverley Station, I was on my way to a meeting and I stepped off the train and a flash went in my face and I was so startled. God knows what I must have looked like. And they said, if you didn't do a proper posed photograph, this will be the one that goes in the paper. So I did. I had to do a proper posed photo.
Still like a hardy.
Still like a hardy. Oh, God almighty. And my mouth, my mouth was open. And I was very thrilled because, I mean, it's been a lifetime dream to hear Scottish Parliament. It was my father's dream and the rest of it, you know, he was signed the covenant and all that kind of thing. So I was nervous about it. I was very nervous about it. And I arranged for a friend of a friend to do my hair and my makeup on the day. And we had the thing the night before. We were asked to go to the ambassadorial reception in Edinburgh Castle.
Did you get Ferrero Rocher?
Oh, actually, we didn't. Did we? Very disappointing that. And that was great. It was good fun. And I sang. I didn't sing A Man's a Man, but I sang something. So we went, we set off early in the morning. We parked the car at Kirkcaldy and got the train out because we knew we'd never get parked. And unfortunately, the train was a wee bit late. But we'd still loads of time, but it was just that bit late. So by the time we got out of Waverley Station, they were bringing the crown round for the castle, going to whatever procession. So we kept on getting policemen putting their hands up and stopping us crossing the road because the crown was coming through. A number of times we saw it. And we eventually got round the back of the assembly rooms, along with Marisha, who was doing my hair, and she was keeping my frock and all the rest of it, and paddling along. And Malcolm said to the local, she'd is singing. And he'd arranged for me to have somewhere private to change and get my makeup done and all the rest of it and sit and relax beforehand. But he gave us this complicated directions that we had to go to, and Malcolm said to me, "Are you sure?" And, "Oh yeah, absolutely." So we went round there. We got to the, we had to go right round the place and out again. We got to the, and of course we got to the famous black and white corridor that they used to have in the assembly rooms, and the policeman stopped us and said, "So you can't come in, the crowd's coming in." With, "Oh, to heck with this." So we did the stair and into the advocates building, which is the one next to it, and the wee man on the bottom said, "Oh, I, two stairs up, and it's the door on the right hand side, and they're all, you know, just go in there, that's where you're changing." So we trooped up the stairs, found the door on the right hand side, opened it, and the entire Inverness Gaelic choir were getting into their kilts. We were in the wrong place. They had, we were supposed to be someplace else entirely. However, however, the somebody came rushing out for Unique Events or whatever it was that was organising it, and we got into a room, which was quite nice. But we had the only mirror in the place, so we had all the lasses for the Inverness Gaelic choir had to come along and do their hair and their makeup and the mirror. Well, I'm busy trying to get changed, but up there. And Mary Ann Kennedy and I were in fits of the giggles by that time. So anyhow, they came up and they said, "Now, we'll just take you in, and you'll be fine because there are some people already there." And actually, the brass section of the RSNO were coming in, but they weren't there at the time. So I had to sit on my own in this big empty thing with this screen. And I was watching what was happening outside because I had the big screen up. And I sat there for about half an hour before anybody came. Unfortunately, it was the brass section of the RSNO that were doing the fanfare. And I knew a couple of them, so that was okay. They were, and by this time, I'm bagging jangling nerve ends, and they kept on saying, "It's all right, it's okay, you'll be okay, you'll be all right, you're all right, you'll be okay." So anyhow, it all started. We had the false start when the fanfare started, and then it was stopped. Then we had the playing cards came in. And I thought they looked magnificent, actually, the crown and the queen, and imagine. And it went. And I just knew I wasn't going to be able to cope with Tom Fleming, whose voice was lovely. That man could have read the back of a packet of tea and moved you to tears. But also, he was reading a poem by Ian Crichton Smith, and I knew Ian. And it wasn't that long after Ian died. Uh-huh. And I thought, if I listen, I'll be greeting, and that'll be it all. So I actually had to wait. I had to sort of focus on no listening to Tom, but waiting for the applause, and then I got up and come forward. By which time, and I started to go for it, and my feet were stuck to the floor. I had to sort of get the legs going here. Once I started, I was all right, but I found in the second verse I could feel myself starting to greet.
Right.
And there is, you can hear it on the recording, where I swallow.
Uh-huh.
I just had to swallow the sob, otherwise I'd have been greeting. And I was looking at the people, but where I was standing, the way I was standing, the way I was pointing, of course, there was a majesty. Lord Steele of Aco just called me, Sir David. He's a nice lad, actually, but I turned round and looked at, I could see the, as it happened, it was all the Scottish National Party were all sitting in my direct line of vision, and they were all mousing along with it, you know, as they would do. kind of keep them out of Perry, but anyhow, it got to the stage, and I thought, and I got this feeling, and I was looking down because the Labour lot were in front of me, and I could see them sort of half, trying not to half turn there. They were all singing along as well, and I thought, "Oh, stuff this for a game of soldiers." I got to the beginning of the last verse, and I thought, "We'll do the traditional bit," and walloped in, and in they all came racing, including apparently Itcharich, the Prince of Wales, or the Duke of Rothesay, as he's properly known. And that was the thing, but I didn't realise at the time what an impact it had made.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time for it to dawn, and we were wandering down, we all went down to Parliament Hall. I got pounced on, I got jumped on by about half a dozen MPs, Jack McConnell and Margot MacDonald and all the rest of it, and as I struggled my way out of there, I met Tom Fleming, because they were at the opposite end, I was at one end, they were at the other. and got hugged by all the brass section of the RSNO, which was nice, and had all the stewards coming up wanting me to sign their wee bookies and whatnot. And we're walking down to Parliament Hall, because that was where the Queen got on the horse and cared and went back to Holyrood. Lucky woman.
For her tatty scones
or whatever. Anyhow, we were apparently having a peace dinner down in Parliament Hall, or a buffet lunch, as I think they call it in Edinburgh. And we're making our way down there, and of course there's crowds and crowds of people, and they're all shouting Sheena and waving and signing flags and kissing parents and all
that. Queen yourself.
I turned round to Malcolm and said, God, there's a lot of people here that we can. And of course he's long suffering, that man. He said, darling, I think they've just seen you on the big screens and you're still wearing the same dress. All right. All right enough, yes. But we met all sorts of interesting people that day, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And Annabel Goldie come wandering up. I like Annabel Goldie. She's a nice woman. And she said to me, would you like to meet William Hague? And I said, well, only if I have to. And she said, yes, I feel the same myself. She said, I was sitting next to Donald. I was sitting next to, what's his face, McCletchie. What is his first name? David McCletchie. I was sitting next to David McCletchie, and he turned to me and he said, do you think the blue of the costume is significant? And she said, I suspect it is, but probably not in the way you would like. But it was lovely. It was really nice.
You didn't get a better sign.
It was fantastic. It was an inspired choice, because it's an incredible credo for any nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we will treat everybody equally and we will be brothers with the world, or sisters even with the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredibly ambitious song to sing.
And done through Scots,
which was... And done unaccompanied... And it irritates the light for me, because on YouTube it's got a guitar backing.
Oh, has it?
Alan Smart did this thing where he sung himself My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose and all the rest of it. He did it because he was working for the Scottish Parliament at the time. But he actually put guitar backing on to the song.
Right.
And I think it sounds naff, quite frankly. It really sounds naff.
And is it drown you at all?
No, it doesn't drown me out, but it still sounds naff.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like putting a comment on it and saying, this is naff, by the way. I didn't like it, Sheena Wellington. I tell him I wasn't keen, but I didn't want to sort of publicly say, get off your bam. Tat this dune, otherwise I'm going to sue. But I felt like it, and I really should put it up myself, just unaccompanied. And I will do when I get round to it, because... The copyright in my performance there, actually, everything, the royalties go to CHAS, you know, the Children's Hospice Association, because
mm-hmm.
it seemed like, and the royalties for it off the video that they had, which I think they've now put on a DVD,
mm-hmm.
go to CHAS, which was quite good, because I persuaded the Parliament and the BBC to waive their royalties and all.
Oh, did you?
But it was good. And I kept on getting people stopping us in the street. And I had to nip into, what you cry, it's Coda
mm-hmm.
Records, where Ninian, because a friend of mine works, I had to nip in there and say, can I get changed here? Because I can't go home wearing this, I'll never get peace on the train. So I got changed. Nobody recognised me after I took me from another...
Back into your old house.
Back into my old place. It's all clays and parish. Nobody kent where I was. It was bra. But, and when we got home, of course, when we got home, Michael, my son, was still living at home at the time. He was, what, 18? Something like that. 19. And we came in the door just as the news was finished. And he said to me, Mum, ITN's just said that you were the highlight of the whole day.
What a real thing
to hear. It was nice, and of course there have been loads of messages. The phone's never stopped ringing. The floors had already been delivered. Floors kept coming in, cards, all the rest of it. And I was borrowing vases for the neighbours and handing out floors to the neighbours and all the rest of it. And a neighbour of ours, Margaret Dahl, that just died, actually, she was buried there on Hogmanay, over at her funeral. She came in, she was one of these, you can't where you were with Margaret, nae messing. Felt it like it was. Should have been a Dundonie, she wasn't, but she could have been. And she came in with a couple of vases that she'd brought across, and I gave her a nice wee arrangement that had come in. And she looked through now the flues and now the cares, and she said, "It's a good job you're our all to hear your head turned." And waltzed through the door, and I thought, yeah, that's Scotland for you. Didn't get carried away with yourself. And you can say, and it's the way you can say things in Scots that just keep folk right in the right place. Okay. Put their gas at a peep, exactly. Sorry, you're rabbiting away here.
No, well, just to say, Sheena Wellington, Moni, thank for speaking to the Scots Language Centre.
Been my pleasure.